Hey there! Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quirky podcast that gives you writing tips and life tips, and maybe a chuckle or two.
You sound like such a grandpa.
What a great start.
And maybe a chuckle or two. I'm Carrie. I'm the New York Times and internationally best-selling author of kids' books.
And I'm Sean, her lovely co-host.
We're married, and you can tell. Normally, we start off the podcast with a random thought. Sometimes that's in bed, sometimes it's in the car, sometimes it's in the office, but it's always random, like us. And then we'll give you a writing tip and a dog tip.
And hopefully some good fodder as well.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Enjoy your day.
Hey, it's Random Thought in the truck. We're both in a vehicle, which is very exciting for me, housebound Carrie, thanks to COVID. I don't have COVID. I don't have any symptoms of COVID. I just don't want to get COVID. So I never go out, ever, except to walk. Anyways, so I don't even know what it's like to ride in a vehicle anymore.
Hardly.
I'm like, how do I do? How do I work the seatbelt? Does it click?
You've been driving like once a month.
Yeah, I drive like once a month. I ride in a car maybe once a month. Maybe twice. Oh! I do go get... We get the food co-op.
Oh, yeah. So you get to ride in a car for 10 minutes each week.
Yeah, 10 minutes each week. Okay, so anyways...
Good doggy ride.
I'm not into cars, so it's okay. Anyways, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm in a car helping Sean. It's really a truck. The first thing I did was slam open the door into the house because I'm not used to opening car doors anymore.
It's all right. You didn't hear anything, love.
I heard the truck.
Well, it's okay.
Yeah, the truck. Compared to everything else on this truck, it's not gonna notice.
No, you won't. Notice that little scuff.
Well, I was reading this story on Medium, which is always very dangerous for me because I get mad at it. Because people make a ton of money on Medium just regurgitating other people's thoughts, and it bothers me. Like, one of the top articles recommended for me are, learn how to be a better writer with 5 tips from Stephen King. And Stephen King, I know he has a ton of money, but like, he's not getting any extra money out of that article, unless somebody goes and buys his book because of it. But like, this other person is probably making like $5,000 because everybody's clapped so hard for that article. And he or she is just taking Stephen King's thoughts, simplifying them down and spewing them out again.
That's right.
And I don't think that's super cool.
A lot of people write like that nowadays.
I would like everyone to start thinking their own thoughts. You know, it's like we watch a presidential debate, we look at Twitter during the presidential debate because we need to laugh somehow or commiserate with other people, right? And then we get all this influx of, like, people telling us how to think. See, like, it's not like they're doing it really on purpose unless they're a news agency, but, like, you know, you see everybody else's reaction on Twitter and you automatically go to that reaction before you can even formulate your own. And it's the same thing, like, you watch CNN or Fox or MSNBC or whatever news thing you watch, or you read the New York Times or Politico or the opposite, whatever the opposite ones are on the political spectrum, and you read their opinions about the events and how they report on them, and you don't get to go and dive into it and look into it your own way with your own thought processes. I think we should have a moratorium about talking about debates at least until a day after, and then we can all form our own thoughts and see if they coincide.
That sounds like a good idea. But I know what makes you angry and everything that you just said.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't apply to just debates.
Uh-oh.
It's across the board.
Uh-oh.
And your root issue here is that people regurgitate. They spew forth things based upon what they've read on Twitter immediately, right?
Yes.
Is what you just said.
Yes.
And they don't take the time to intelligently formulate their own thoughts or opinions about the matter, right?
Isn't that what
you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not everybody, of course.
It's a generalization, and those are dangerous.
But it's like the mass of the social media monsters.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
Yeah.
Like, intelligent thoughts right out the window.
Yeah.
For 60 to 75% of the population nowadays.
It's like we're deliberately dumbing ourselves down.
Seems that way.
You know?
Yeah.
Instead of like being like, hey, let's look for things that provoke thought. We're going to look for things that just tell us how to think.
Or just provoke emotion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. Or, like, so if we circle back to that Medium article, it's like, hey, here are Stephen King's tips, as told to you by me, about how to make a better story. And that's helpful because Stephen King's a successful author, but he's only the author of a certain type. You know, he has some, he crosses genres, but he has a very definite style, right? That really works for him, Stephen King. But that might not work for you, Meg Cabot, or you, you know, Ann Na, or you, you know,
right.
James Patterson. Like, and so now we're all using the Stephen King five tips versus looking across the board at all these other five tips, or looking across the board at the books we actually like and think, wow.
Why do I like this?
Yeah, you know, like, why are you copying Stephen King's writing tips if you don't even like Stephen King's writing?
That's true.
And it just bothers me so much. It's like, it's this formulaic way of thinking and dispersing information and making other people think, and it's everywhere.
It is everywhere.
But I also read this article on Medium about this guy who lost 40 or 60 pounds or something. He was 202 and now he's 106, 160 or something. He's 5'7".
I was gonna say, he's not a very big guy.
And he basically did it by a couple things. He, when he's alone, he doesn't eat a lot of bad things for him, but he'll cheat, like when he's with friends and stuff.
Uh-huh, that's cool.
And then he also stopped drinking, because your body metabolizes alcohol first because it thinks it's poison. And so it wastes all this energy metabolizing the alcohol, he says. And I don't know if it's true. I haven't looked it up yet. And then it goes on to metabolize your Whopper Jr. with cheese. After it deals with all the vodka you shot back last night because you were sad because your life's not like the episode of New Girl full of friends. So the other thing that he does is he, instead of making goals, he decided, which he did every year, he decided to spend 5 days, I mean 5 days, 5 minutes, not 5 days, that would be a really long time.
That's all he's gonna do.
He spent 5 minutes writing his perfect day.
Wow.
Like, if you could just write your perfect day. So if you take a second, everyone quiet, except for the truck, imagine your favorite, like, perfect day, right? You doing it, Shawnee?
I'm driving, love.
You can imagine and drive.
Okay, I'm imagining it.
All right.
You want to hear how it starts?
Yeah.
All right, we wake up in bed at like 10 o'clock, naked.
Oh my gosh, that's not good.
Sun shining in. No dogs.
What?
Tapping around.
Oh, that'd
be
nice.
Out and go pee.
Then what?
We make love 2 or 3 times.
Oh my god.
And then we get up to go fix brunch. But that's how it starts.
Okay, but what do you do during the rest of your day?
Oh. Go back to bed.
Oh my god.
Naked. Turn off all our devices.
Oh my gosh. Oh
put
my
sign
gosh.
On the front door, do not disturb.
Alright, so
then
we're gonna
go out for dinner.
We're going to call Sean Captain Two-Track.
Because we don't want to be shut in.
Captain Two-Track is all about food and copulation, apparently, in his perfect day. And then you take your perfect day and you compare it to what your actual day is like, right?
You know what? I changed my mind.
Oh my god, you
that is the perfect day, but that's real shallow. That's my shallow perfect day.
Oh, your shallow
my
perfect day.
My real perfect day would be for me and you and our two daughters to be able to actually do something fun and all four of us enjoy it. And nobody get mad or get an attitude.
You're such a dreamer.
Yeah, I know. That's why I went with more likely sex all day.
Oh my god.
Anyways.
I'm not sure which is more likely. Oh, I coughed. So anyways, my perfect day is more like, hey, I wake up without the dogs waking me up, without anybody wanting anything from me or demanding that I be naked. And then I move on and I go take a hike, like I go run and it doesn't hurt. And then like I write and then I do a little art and then I go like walk around outside and like it's so fun and lovely.
Then you go check the mail and get all 100 checks out of the box.
Yeah, there are like a million checks in the box and like a million letters of people who've read my books. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day.
It's so realistic, though. Like, not that it happens. I mean, it's more of a realistic, perfect day than either of mine.
And then I go, and then I cook something for dinner and it's lovely.
It's always lovely, honey.
And
you
so,
got that part down pat.
And so, anyways, the point is we're supposed to think how our real day is so different and also what's missing. Like, do I have, I'm having 5 bottles of wine like I do normally every, I don't really.
No.
I know. But then, like, but that's not even in my, that doesn't even factor into my perfect day. Or, like, oh, I'm working from blah, 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 to blah, blah, blah on this, you know? I'm marketing and blah, 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 blah.
Hey, I'm drinking a 1/2 gallon of vodka a day. I'm not gaining any weight.
My point is that you're not supposed to drink a 1/2 gallon of vodka every day. But also, my other point, Sean Kelly, is that you're supposed to think how they're so different and why, like, sometimes our unhealthy habits don't even show up in our perfect day.
Oh, I know. They didn't show up in mine.
No, they didn't show up in mine either. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, why do we have those?
What do we have for habits that are unhealthy?
Well, we're not going to talk about that on the podcast, because what if one of our kids runs for president someday?
Oh, God.
Emily. Yeah.
She better get on it.
She's doing fine.
Yes, she is.
She's just not 35 yet. We do not have a 35-year-old.
No, we don't. We could.
No, we could not.
Oh, yes, most.
Oh,
yes, most,
you maybe.
It's biologically possible.
Ew. Oh, no. No, gross.
Writing tip of the pod. I still feel asleep this morning, darling.
I know, I'm so sorry. Sean is groggy today.
Groggy.
Yeah. So he's going to miss the cue that I'm giving him that he's supposed to start reading.
Writing pet peeves.
There you go.
Carrie's number one writing pet peeve is when authors write, "I thought to myself." Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Seriously. You are always thinking to yourself, sweet writer.
Unless no, you made that sound so creepy.
I'm going to try it again. Seriously. You're always thinking to yourself, sweet writer.
Okay.
Unless you're telepathically communicating to a zombie hamster. And then all bets are off.
But the thing is that I, Carrie, get why authors like myself do this. It's because either, usually, one, we're worried that our reader isn't going to get what we're saying and know that we're thinking only to ourselves. Or two, we're padding our daily word count totals for NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, where you try to write a 50,000 word novel in November. But here's the thing. Your readers are smart or smart enough to know that when your characters are thinking, they're doing that to themselves and not to anyone else. That's the whole... That's what the word means.
To think?
To think.
Well, you always think to yourself, right?
Exactly. So it's redundant. So you want to cut those words, sweetie. Trust the readers. Trust your writing. If you say...
I think.
Oh, my gosh. Or...
I thought.
Everyone knows it is to yourself, unless you know...
Telepathic zombie hamsters.
That's right. So what about you? Do you have any writing pet peeves, boo?
Me?
Yeah, man.
Dude, I probably got a million. I didn't have any time to prep for this, though. Let me see.
You know what other else bothers me?
What else?
All right, this one's really old-fashioned, but and I've talked to you about it before, but it's when someone says, I'm nauseous.
Yeah.
That means they're causing
other people to be nauseated.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's, if you, like, say, I'm nauseated, you're being correct. That means you are someone who feels feels the feeling of nausea.
Gotcha.
But if you say, I'm nauseous, that means you're making everybody else sick.
So if you say, I'm feeling nauseous, that means that you are feeling about yourself that you're making everybody else feel nauseated.
Yeah, man, yeah. And the other thing that gets me is, like, kind of when people say me and my sister or me and you.
Yeah.
Like, in writing, just like in everything else in the world, you want to not put yourself first. You're not a president or a politician. It's whoever is with you.
Right.
It's an act of kindness. So it's my sister and me.
Do people do that often? Because that's like basic grammar school.
Yeah, they do.
Rule, isn't it?
All the time, man. All the time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
Now you have some more pet peeves. I know you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. What about quotes? Oh.
What about them?
What people say, like if they're writing dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, just knowing how to use a quotation mark?
No, no. It's like how they're framing the actual dialogue. But oftentimes, I think they duplicate the intent. Like,
oh.
Like.
Yeah.
I can tell you.
All right. So if you are talking and you're like, and Sean, ask me a question.
Carrie, who's your favorite man?
Can you ask me a yes or no question?
Carrie. Am I your favorite man?
All right, and then if you're writing on the page, it would be, Carrie nodded. Yes, you are my favorite man, Sean. So if you're nodding and have the action beat of your character, and then you're also saying yes in the dialogue, that's redundant. That's just bogus BS that you're trying to up your word count again. And you're not trusting yourself or the reader to get what you're saying. It can either be, Sean says,
Carrie, I love you.
No.
You want another yes or no question?
Yeah, the same question, baby.
Oh, Carrie, am I your favorite man?
Yes, that's Carrie right. said. Or, ask again.
Carrie, stop poking me. Am I your favorite man?
Carrie nodded. And then started laughing evilly. But you get it, right? You don't have to say, Carrie nodded. Yes, she said.
Let me ask you one more question.
Yeah.
Please.
Uh-huh.
Instead of saying Carrie said, can you use the nodded part as like... I don't know what you call that. Like, Carrie nodded. Yes, you are.
Yeah, that's called a dialogue beat, but
yeah.
You still wouldn't want to say yes. Like, if it was, Carrie nodded. Carrie nodded, and then the quotation marks happen.
Yeah.
I love you more than anyone. End quotation marks. That shows us that if it's all in the same paragraph, that I am the person saying that bit of dialogue.
That was fantastic how you dressed that up like that.
Oh, thank
you. No, it really was.
Right.
I enjoyed that.
Yay, Sean enjoyed something and it wasn't food or sex.
Condensed writing tip of the pod.
Trust your readers. Don't write down to them. Don't write down yourself, man. And believe in your words.
You gotta believe in your words.
Believe in your words like you believe.
You know, you're really good at that.
I love boo.
Having confidence in your words.
That's the only thing I have.
Like written and spoken. Oh, I don't know if that's true, but you have a lot of confidence in your words.
Really? You think so?
Oh, yeah. I just kind of realized it, too.
Aw.
After all these years of learning about your personality and stuff and, you know, strengths and weaknesses of what you perceive of yourself, I mean. Not me. No, your own perceived strengths.
Mm.
You have a lot of confidence in your words.
Words are powerful.
Oh, they are. Dog tip for life. So, Sparty says, you don't need to be insecure. Be proud of what you're doing, who you are, and what you're putting down for the world to hear. And he was looking right at Gabby when he said it. And the reason was, Gabby showed a little crack in her armor yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
She's been barking at the FedEx man from the day we moved into this house, which is years.
Years.
Years. No matter whose house he's at on the block, if she can see him, she's barking. And yesterday she was out on the back deck, and FedEx man went to the neighbor's house. And then he walked over And very bravely, I might add.
He was brave.
Faced Gabby through the rail of the deck and offered her a doggy treat.
The only thing protecting him was his beard.
That's just enough distance to get away should she lunge.
That was a good beard. Okay, yeah.
And what'd Gabby do? You were there.
Well, she barked at him. She barked at him a lot, right?
Yeah.
But then he was like, treat. And she was like, what? And he was like, I have a red dog treat. And she was like, what's a red dog treat? And all this time, I was in the house. I didn't know exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
I thought she was barking at our nice neighbor, Charlie.
Right.
So I was like, oh my gosh, she cannot bark at Charlie like that. That's so loud and aggressive. Oh my gosh, poor Charlie. Because she doesn't normally bark at Charlie quite that much.
Right.
And so I ran out to grab her. And there was not Charlie, but the very bearded, very kind FedEx man holding out the red treat to Gabby. Who had stopped barking.
Before you got there? Right, had she stopped?
Right before I got there. And she was looking at him like, what are you doing? You're going to give me a treat? And the FedEx man very securely gave her the treat.
Yeah.
And then she ran to the side and ate it. Like he was going to take it back.
Come back and start barking again?
And then I was like, what are you doing, FedEx man? And he's like, does she bite? And I'm like, this is a little late to be asking, right? FedEx man. And he was like, I love dogs. And I could never tell where she's barking from. Like, I'm like, is she in that window? Is she in that window? I'm like, well, she runs from upstairs to downstairs, window to window, to bark at you, FedEx man. And he's like, but today I looked behind me and there she was. And he was like, so I got a treat because I love dogs and I have treats. And so then Sparty, our other dog, was like, let me out, treats. Because he's very food focused. And I let him out. And FedEx guy was like, oh no. You have another dog? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, this one's our chill dog. And he was like, let me go run and get another treat. So he ran back to the FedEx truck. Yeah. Came back with another treat. Sparty was like, who are you right up below the deck giving me a treat? What glorious day is this? And he gave him a treat. Then Gabby came back over. He pecked Gabby through the thing. Then 2 minutes later, while we were talking, Gabby barked again at him. And he's like, what the hell? I'm like, oh, she's stupid. And then, and then I was like, you know, the fact that you're a man and she's not barking incessantly at you, even after you gave her a treat, means she loves you. Like, this is huge for her. Like,
yeah.
Because she barks at men.
She does.
Because she was probably abused by one.
Probably.
Before she came to us.
Mm-hmm.
So there. And that is the story of Gabby and the FedEx man.
And how's that relate?
Well, Gabby is never insecure, right? She's always proud of what she's doing and who she is. She's like, my job is to bark at all men.
She definitely...
Skateboarders. And particularly the postal workers and UPS FedEx people.
That's right.
Because they come on our porch, but they don't come inside. Who are these people, right? And she's so secure in that, right? And her security got her a lot of attention. If she was our quiet dog, Sparty, right? He wouldn't have never even known we had a dog. And Sparty would have never gotten the treat that Gabby got. So even though it seems kind of weird and convoluted, Gabby's security in herself and her position in the world, her barking and putting down what she wants the world to hear, actually paid off. And she got a treat. And who knows how many people she has, like, kept from robbing our house in our very crime-ridden neighborhood to in Bar Harbor, Maine.
That's right.
Because she's so secure, man. She's secure with her words.
She sure is.
Did I bring it all around again?
Yeah, you did.
All right, cool.
I was just thinking about the difference between the delivery man. I really like the FedEx guys. Like, not personally.
Yeah.
But they're a little more stealthy. Like, they can come and go. And you won't know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we always know because of Gabby. But the UPS guy is, like, driving up the street.
He's very friendly.
Like, I'm not talking about any particular UPS person. I think they all do this.
Oh.
They're like, they come roaring up the street. Beep, beep, when they get to the front of the house.
Yeah, they honk.
They come up on the porch. If the dog's not barking yet, they make it a point to knock on the door. UPS! And then they go back out to the truck. And if they still don't hear, beep, beep.
They honk again.
And then they take off.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like their goal is to see how many dogs are in the house or something.
Maybe.
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe that's a good goal. And the FedEx guys.
It's a secret game that UPS delivery men play with innocent homeowners.
The FedEx guys are very stealthy. But I think part of it is not bearded FedEx guy, but he said one of his FedEx guys who normally comes to our house.
Co-workers.
Is afraid of dogs. And it got worse this year because his brother got bit at Northeast Harbor. I had quite the conversation with the FedEx guy, actually.
Well, I guess so.
And so.
Did he get his number?
No. Yeah. I wanted to give him some beard oil. He was so cool.
It was his beard nasty?
No, you're just so cool, man.
That's good.
I was like, dude, I want to give you something.
Any of that case of beard oil left down in the basement? You should have thrown him a bottle.
I could have given them some pickles.
There you go.
We made homemade pickles and they're delicious. But anyways, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, I wanted to give them back.
Well, we're just kind of rambling on here on the Sunday morning.
So anyways, there you go. It's our longest podcast.
Believe in your words.
Believe in your words. Believe in yourself, man.
Yeah, believe. First and foremost, believe in yourself. And spend a day naked in bed.
No!
With your significant other.
And their beard.
5 for listening to the podcast. Please like it and subscribe.
You can find it anywhere that podcasts are, because I don't know why. They haven't kicked us off yet.
Yeah.
And you can join over 250,000 people who have listened to this podcast.
Man, you've been saying that number for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's really 200,000. I don't even know how. It's a big number.
Sweet.
Anyways, the music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome, and it is made available through the Creative Commons license. If you go to our show notes on carriejonesbooks.blog or Dogs Are Smarter Than People, you can find out who this artist is and what their song is, and even go to their artist website. But it's Summer Spliff, and it's by Broke for Free. And you can find out more about my books and all that kind of stuff in my writing class, and I teach and I edit things by checking out Carrie Jones Books, CarrieJones Books.
Yeah.
.blog.
I gotta tell you real quick.
Oh, no, honey, don't.
No, I just want to say that you're the best editor, teacher, writing coach ever.
Very sweet.
Okay.
Very sweet.
I mean that. I can tell from your students' reactions when I overhear them in the class, Zoom classes, and when I read your reviews and your emails. I love you. You're amazing. Thanks for listening.
The outro's supposed to be fast.
Okay, it was done. I was done a while back.